Now the Great Commission, as it is generally referred to, was the Saviour's parting word to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. The apostles were privileged on that occasion to witness the Lord rise up into heaven to take his rightful place at the Father's right hand. But prior to the Lord's ascension, the apostles were left in no doubt whatsoever as to the Lord's will for the church, and as concerning the work which he intended them to do during the time of his bodily absence. Verse 19 of Matthew 28 sums it up. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Or as we have it in Mark's Gospel, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This was the commission which the Lord Jesus gave to the church in his parting words prior to his ascension. The commission was not given to the apostles only. It was not given merely as their responsibility, but it's clear from the text here that this responsibility passes upon the church in every generation of its existence upon the earth. And you can see that with regard to the promise that the Lord gives in verse 20. He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This is the promise that is attached to the condition. The promise that is attached to the command. The command to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And when the church goes in obedience to the command, the Lord Jesus has promised that he will be with his people. And you'll notice that he says, even unto the end of the world. And in that little closing phrase of the verse, the Lord is indicating that this commission is not the responsibility of the apostles only. It is the responsibility of every generation of believers right unto the end of the world. And so therefore, this passage is just as much relevant to us today as it was when it was first given to the apostles in the first century. At the beginning of this new year, I want us to focus upon this commission. Because in this commission, the Lord is highlighting the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church, the reason for the church's existence upon the earth. The reason why he has left the church physically and bodily. The reason why he has left the church on earth is because its commission is to fulfill this great command of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. A church without purpose will be a church without direction. It is vital that we recognize our purpose, the reason for our existence. Why has the Lord raised this testimony here? Why has the Lord brought us together in this fashion as believers? The answer is found in the words of this great commission given to the apostles. This is our purpose for existing. We are to go with the gospel and bear witness to Christ in all the world. Now you'll notice some things about this great commission and the purpose that it outlines to us. You'll notice in the first place that our purpose as a church is to be a gospel church. A gospel-centered and a gospel-orientated church. Mark 16, verse 15, as we have already noted, bears or contains that alternative rendering, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission reminds us that the church is first and foremost a gospel-centered and a gospel-orientated church. Its message to the world is the message of the gospel. It is the gospel which forms the foundation of the church's existence. The church is comprised of men and women who have been brought to an understanding of the gospel and who believe it to the saving of their souls. But here we find the Savior reminding His disciples that the gospel which was the means of bringing them into the body of the church, that same gospel is to be continually the focus and the center of the church's ministry and the church's activity. Preach the gospel. You see the Lord directing them here to the gospel. This is your purpose. This is the reason for your existence. Go into the world with the gospel. And thereby He's indicating that the church is always to be a gospel church. But what is the gospel? It literally means in the Greek, the good news. It is the message of salvation. It is the good tidings of redemption for sinners. It's interesting when you move through the epistles of the New Testament that you will find that there are various descriptions given concerning the gospel. And if you turn, for instance, to Romans chapter 1, you'll find there in the very first verse of that chapter, Romans chapter 1, that Paul describes the gospel as the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. We believe in the doctrine of separation. But separation is never to be considered only as a negative thing. Here it is positive. We are separated onto the gospel. And I think sometimes the snare that believers fall into is that they're very well and very keen to tell you what they're against. And the world can tell us what we're against. But this is saying what we're for. What we're for. Separated unto the gospel of God. You see, by using that description, He's indicating this is the provision that God has made. This is a message that comes from God Himself. This is God's communication. This is God's revelation to the world. And He has given the church the gospel of God, that the church may go to the world and announce to the world the news that has come from God. If you come down there to verse 9 of that same chapter, Paul says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son." And again in verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's the gospel of God. And that indicates the provision that God has made. The origin. And now you see how Paul is describing it in this sense. That the gospel centers in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of His Son. Who He is and what He has done. His great work of atonement that He has fulfilled at the cross of shame. His work of redemption. It's the gospel of His Son. And the Lord says to the church that our focus, our priority is the gospel. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. If you turn back to Acts chapter 20 and the verse 24, the Apostle Paul adds another description. He's speaking of that time to the Ephesian elders of his suffering that is going to befall him. And he says in verse 24 of Acts 20, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." It's the gospel of grace. The gospel that sets before men the unmerited favor and that full pardon that God has provided in Christ for poor, lost, guilty sinners. It's the gospel of the grace of God. The Lord is saying to His disciples now that the church must ever be focused and orientated upon the gospel of God, the gospel of His Son, the gospel of the grace of God. It is this that constitutes the church's message and witness to the world. You see, there is a danger of being sidetracked. There's a danger of losing our focus as a church as to what our purpose and the reason of our existence is. If you turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul deals with the situation of division in the church of Corinth and the creation of factions. I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Paul. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 1, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." You see what Paul is identifying here? You know what he's saying of the church in Corinth? The evidence of factions and divisions among them was evidence that they had lost their focus. And he says, "I haven't come to baptize." Now, he's not despising the ordinance of baptism. He mentions those who he had baptized. But he says, "Christ did not send me to baptize." Baptism is part of the Word of God. It is an ordinance of the gospel. But Paul is saying it's not my primary focus. It's not my chief objective. My chief objective is to preach the gospel. And so he's indicating here that it's very possible for believers and for churches to get sidetracked and to get their eyes and to get their focus away from the priority that the Lord has given them. And that priority is the gospel. The message of redeeming grace to a poor, lost, fallen world. The message of God's unmerited favor in Christ. A church can be sidetracked in the social realm. And it can become taken up with meeting the temporal needs of men and women. But the Lord didn't say in the commission, "Go and feed the world," or "Go and clothe the poor." Now, I'm not diminishing that in any one way. And I believe that there's a place for those things. But it's not the primary function of the church. A church can be sidetracked morally. And when I mention that, I am referring to the moral evils that are in the world. And a church can be taken up with addressing those moral evils and standing against this and standing against that and standing against the other thing. And I'm not diminishing that or despising that. There's a place for that. But it's not the primary purpose of the church. A church can be sidetracked politically. so that all its efforts and all its energies can be channeled into gaining political power in order to try and change the nation and the laws that govern the nation. I'm not despising that, but it's not the primary purpose or objective of the church. The primary purpose and objective of the church is to take the gospel to the world. And therefore, we must never lose sight of that. All these other things have their legitimate place, but they are subservient to the primary objective, to preach the gospel. And the church, consisting of believers assembling together in a locality, the purpose of that body of believers is to be focused and centered and orientated upon the message of the gospel. And that gospel is the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of His saving grace. And then you'll notice that the Lord here in this commission sets forth that our purpose is not only to be a gospel church, but it is to be a going church. He says, "Go ye and teach all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Lord Jesus places the priceless and the precious jewel of the gospel into the hand of His disciples. And He then tells them to go and distribute its riches and its wealth amongst the sons of men. Do you remember Paul in Ephesians 3? When he talked about the grace that had been given unto him concerning the ministry that the Lord had given him. And that ministry was that he was to go among the Gentiles and preach to them the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. You see, he never lost sight of his focus. Never lost sight of his purpose. Purpose that's centered in Christ and setting Christ before men in all His fullness, in all His riches, the riches of His grace. And he realized that the great purpose of the church was to go with the gospel. It's not to be hid. He says to the Corinthians, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Hid to them that are lost. It is to be taken throughout the world. This word go indicates activity. The church is to be an active church. It's not to sit back with its feet up, but rather it's to go with the gospel. There's movement here, there's activity, and the Lord is now directing the path of the church. We're to go with the gospel. And you'll notice there's not only activity here, there's plurality. In verse 19 of Matthew 28, the Lord says, "Go ye," and the "ye" there, the pronoun is plural, more than one. He's speaking of all. And he's saying to all his disciples that this is our responsibility. This is a collective responsibility. That it should be at our heart and at our very soul to be involved in going with the gospel. The message of grace. The message of salvation. The message of redemption. We're to go with that message. Each and every one of us. The apostles were men of differing abilities, differing temperaments. Study the Gospels and you'll find that out. But each one was included and each one was to be involved. Some would occupy prominent positions, such as Peter and James and John. And there's other apostles who are not even mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, except they're mentioned collectively as the apostles. Some of them are prominent. Some of them are not thrust out into the limelight, so to speak. But you see, it didn't matter what their temperaments were or what their abilities were. Didn't matter what their positions were. They were all to be committed to this task. The great need within the local church is for each one of us to feel the responsibility of this commission. This comes to every one of us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We have differing abilities, different needs, different temperaments, different positions. But each one of us have a place in the great commission to go with the gospel. It stands to reason that we have it seen in the case of Peter and of Paul. And Paul in Galatians refers to himself as the minister to the uncircumcision. That's the Gentiles, whilst Peter was the minister to the circumcision, the Jews. Peter largely ministered amongst the Jews, whereas Paul largely ministered amongst the Gentiles. But you see how they complement one another? And together, as they fulfill their individual responsibility, they're helping to advance the cause of the gospel and the kingdom of Christ. We are to be a going church. And every one of us have to be involved. Don't be an armchair Christian. It's too easy to be an armchair Christian. Sit back and criticize everybody else. The Lord wants each one of us to be involved. The Lord wants each one of us to feel this responsibility to go with the gospel. And together, as believers who have experienced the grace of God in Christ, if we go with the gospel, God will bless. You'll notice here it's not only to be a gospel church and a going church, it is to be a global church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a wide scope there is in this statement. Nor should it be narrowed down in any way. Because when the Lord says all nations, He means all nations. And when the Lord says every creature, He means every creature. Christ's great redemptive purpose is one which will gather a people from all nations. Is that not the promise given to Abraham? In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Speaking of Abraham's seed, in Christ shall all the families. And is that not the great vision that was given to John in Revelation 7? I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of every kindred and every tongue and every nation under heaven. And from every nation the Lord will gather a people unto Himself. And so in light of the promise and in light of that vision, the church must ever keep this global mission in view. We must keep the world before us. And we ought to pray to this end. We ought to pray that the gospel of grace will spread to the ends of the earth. It stands to reason that we cannot go to every place in the world. But what the Lord is saying here is that our heart should lie in unity and in oneness with the desire and with the endeavor and with the attempt to spread the gospel to every nation. And if we ourselves cannot go personally, then those who are sent by the Lord should be the very subject of our prayers and of our support. We ought to pursue any opportunity which would enable us to send the gospel to other regions. We're living in an age when the world is not really a far off place. Not far away. The world's a small place. And you can reach people on the other side of the world just at the click of a button or at the dial of a phone. And I believe that we should pursue every opportunity that would enable us to send the gospel to other regions. We need to have a global vision. Don't let us become inward looking. Just seeing ourselves. Avoid that, because that's not the will of God. When the Lord says, go into all nations, He's saying that the church should have the whole world before it. That we should broaden our horizons. Isaiah 54 tells us that we're to lengthen the ties, strengthen the stakes. There's to be that desire to spread, to advance the gospel. And it should be within our very prayers that the Lord would spread His name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, from the east to the west. But let's look at it in relation to our own locality, because the Lord has placed us here. And this is part of the world. And therefore it's part of fulfilling that commission, this locality that we are in. And the Lord tells us that we're to go without exception, without discrimination. When He says every creature, He means great and small. Those who are respected in community and those who are not respected in community. Very easy to get the temptation of going, well, we'll go to those people that are nice people and respectable people. You see those people there? Oh, they're undesirables. We'll just pass them by. No. The Lord says every creature. Every creature. And He means every creature. It can apply to all ages. To the old and the young. The Lord says go to every creature. Every individual. Every person. He has not given us the authority to discriminate as to whom the gospel is to be taken. The outcome is left with the Lord. The result is left with the Lord. But our obligation, our responsibility, is to go to every creature, no matter who they are or what they are. Whether they be the vilest of men. I remember in the open air in Belfast, and there was this wee old woman a down and out, and she was dirty, she was stinking. And she came up and she was sitting beside us, listening. And I went over to her at the end and gave her a wee gospel tract and got her some food. And there was this police lady that was standing, and she came over, the woman had actually fallen down. And she came over and she says, don't touch her. Leave her alone. And she was quite sharp with me. And I said, why? And she said, she's stinking. She's stinking. But she just happens to be part of the every creature that the Lord has spoken about. And when the Lord says every creature, He's talking about every creature, no matter what their state is, no matter what their condition is. Every creature. And as a local church, we need to keep that in mind. What if the Lord started to bring in people into this church that maybe were the undesirables of the community? And maybe weren't dressed as well as we're dressed. Would they get one of those snobbish looks down the nose? Go and sit on the other side of the church? The Lord says, go to every creature and preach the gospel. Tell them about the grace of God in Christ. Because let me tell you, you see, that person that might be the off-scarring and the vilest of sinners, the Lord just might make them the brightest of saints. Used to be in the martyrs, way back in the early days, before the martyrs was built in the old Ravenhill Road Church.
the dock used to get in the drunkards every Friday night. And he'd bring them in and the place would be packed with 300 of them. And all their beer bottles would be sitting outside lined up on the path or on the windowsill. And he often tells the story of how there were some very religious Presbyterians that came along and they just crossed the other side of the street and criticized him for even attempting to allow such people like that into the house of God. And you know, the Lord says we're to go to every creature. Every creature. Not every creature may receive the gospel. They may spit at us. They may cast it back in our face. Well, that's up to them. But it might just be the case that among some of those that we go to, the Lord will have jewels that He will gather to Himself. And in that day when He makes up His jewels, they'll be His. They'll be His. You know, we shouldn't despise sinners. Because that's just what we are. Shouldn't despise them. Shouldn't despise the person that's down and out. Person that's maybe fallen terribly in society. We shouldn't despise them. Because they're part of the every creature. They need to be saved. Yes, they need to be saved. We don't condone their sin. But they need to be saved. And we have got the message that can save them. We have got the message that can transform them. And so I'm saying to you as the minister of this church, if you feel like bringing in somebody that's an alcoholic, you bring them. You bring them. Because I would rather have these seats filled with people like that who will hear the gospel than preach the empty pews. And maybe that's just what the Lord is saying to us as a church. Maybe the Lord is saying to us, it's time to go. It's time to go. And let's not despise anybody. Oh, they may have been the hardest of people against us. They may have scorned us. They may have hated us. They may have said some terrible things about us. But they're part of the every creature. And the Lord says, go. Go with the gospel. Get a global vision. Don't be discriminating in the gospel outreach. Don't be sectarian in your spirit. Go with the gospel. This is our purpose. And if we go with the gospel, you know what we will become? We will become a growing church. But there in verse 19, that is conveyed there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the word teach there literally means make disciples of. And really the Lord is saying there that His gospel is going to be successful. His gospel is going to be effective. If we go with the gospel, then disciples will be made. They will be transformed. They will be brought into submission to Christ. They will bow before Him and begin to walk in His ways. The Lord in this commission is guaranteeing the growth and the success of the church. And therefore, when we go with the gospel, we can go with confidence that the Lord will add and give the increase according to His will. We read that verse in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This message, it is the power of God. Power of God isn't in the messenger. Messenger can't make any difference, can't change the people. But it's the message. And that message is the power of God. The word there in the Greek is dunamos, dynamite. It's the explosive energy of God that can so transform the hearts of men. Men will not change of themselves. But this gospel message has residing in it the power of God, the omnipotent power of God. And surely that's seen in our own individual case. What were you before you were saved? You're just a sinner. Your heart was stubborn and rebellious and hard. But it was the gospel that broke your stubborn heart and brought you in faith to Christ. And this same gospel will do the same to others. We need confidence in the gospel, and the confidence here is established or set before us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. The Lord isn't saying this. He's not saying go and then just holding back as if nothing's going to happen. No, he says when you go with the gospel, it's going to be successful. Because you're going to teach, you're going to make disciples, and you're going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is what's going to happen. He has a people to gather into himself. And he'll not come back until that purpose is accomplished. He'll not come back until it's accomplished. And so, we can go with confidence. Now, I know there's a lot of concern in relation to the village and the way that the atmosphere has changed within the village, and the way that the old godly influence seems to be dwindling away. And there's men and women that have no concern for God, no time for God. But brethren and sisters, we have got the answer. We have got the answer. The answer is the gospel. And it might just be the case that the Lord has allowed these things and brought people that are totally dark to the gospel, brought them within our reach in order that we might go to them with the gospel and that He will save them and bring them to Himself. I believe the Lord is setting out our direction for this new year. In this new year, we've got to be a gospel church. We are a gospel church, but we need to really focus again as to what our purpose is. And we've got to be a going church. We've got to be a global church. And we've got to be a growing church. And we can go with confidence, knowing that this gospel that we preach is the message that can save sinners and transform lives. I want you to make it your prayer, both individually and collectively as a church. When we gather for prayer this year, let's really pray for the salvation of sinners, for the success of the gospel. Let's pray that before this year is ended, that there will be new converts sitting in our pews, and that the church will grow, and that the Lord will add to the church such as should be saved. Do you remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? He didn't mean to refer to this, but it comes to mind. And he says to the Corinthians in the verse 11, "And such were some of you." And if you read the two verses before, he gives a list of vile, wicked sinners. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And then he says, "And such are some of you." This is what you were. And now you're saved, you're washed, and you're sitting in the house of God. Wouldn't it be great at the end of this year if I would be able to stand up and read this passage and say, "Such were some of you"? Wouldn't it be great? If people who are held captive in their sin were converted, some from the vilest of backgrounds were brought in and saved and washed in the blood of Christ and set on the road to glory. I want to be able to say that And that's my prayer.
It's a very simple prayer. To be able to look down on a congregation with new converts and say, and such were some of you. In the community, you were undesirables. You were outcasts, drunkards, revilers, blasphemers. The Lord has saved you. And you're now amongst the people of God, washed in the precious blood of Christ. The Lord's setting out our direction for this year. And we'll come to this again. I've only got my first point. There's another four to preach. And there's an awful lot in this. And I believe the Lord is setting out to the church what our purpose is. And He's guaranteeing the success of the gospel.